the tech all set up
right.
and I'm ready to do clients. And they contacted me. And in that first month, I had 5 people.
Welcome back to For Entrepreneurs by Entrepreneurs. I am Eric Verdi, episode 15. And with us this week is Jessica Osborne. She is joining us from tomorrow. She's actually across the world in Australia. So she is in the future joining us on this interview. I'm super excited to find out what's going to happen today in my world because she's already experienced it. No, seriously, Jessica is a business coach, consultant, helps small businesses, entrepreneurs, marketing, branding. So Jessica, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And it's been a beautiful day. So you're in for a good one, I'm sure.
I can't wait. I'm excited. All right. So give our listeners, this is awesome to have somebody from Australia. Give the listeners your backstory.
Sure. So I'm a business coach for women. I help service-based business owners now to position their business as an expert in their niche and attract and retain the right customers. So they have, you know, really consistent growth without being chained to their laptops. And that is something I think definitely is a big thing for women when they are in business. Most of us have started our businesses when we got to the age of, you know, having children. A bit about my background. So I spent 20 years in corporate marketing before I started my business. So obviously I got to that age myself where I had children, and that was part of the catalyst of me jumping into running a business. But I think I'd always wanted to run my own business since I was a child. I was one of those people that was always thinking up business ideas, and my husband and I spent many road trips, you know, coming up with ideas for businesses. And I think as you get further on in your career, it becomes harder and harder to find that right idea that feels like you're going to be able to replace where you've got to already, you know, that level of success that you've already had. You don't really want to start right down at ground zero again. You want to, you know, start something, but to be able to accelerate it really quickly. And yeah, I think that's probably why I held back for so long. Like I was really committed to my career and I got right to the top. I was head of marketing for an IT firm, in the top 100 firms in Australia. And I loved my job, but I think I always felt that there was something else that I really wanted. Like I got to the top, but it wasn't what I wanted. Like I knew that there was more out there for me. Yeah, the rest is history, I guess. I go into a little bit more of my story, but I started this business when I went on maternity leave with my second child. So I'd already had one, gone back to the corporate world, really was finding it grating and not fitting into my vision of my life and what I wanted the future to be. So I actually was in hospital after the birth of my second child. I pushed the button on starting this business. I was like, right, I've got, you know, 9 months to make it happen. I'm going to go for it and hopefully I will get to a point where I don't have to go back to work. So I did. I got there in the 9 months. I had a profitable business that I was running here, but I still went back, and that was a weird thing. I think that was a security blanket. It was weird to think of giving away that whole career and that position and everything. So I went back, but I really found that time that was not the right place to be at all. They actually offered me a demotion. I think that was, you know, part of the universe working in its way to tell me this is now, jump with both feet into the business. And so I did. I just made that choice. That was it. And I haven't looked back. So that's how I got to where I am today.
That's awesome. So that was about 3 years ago?
Yeah, 2017. Yeah.
Okay. So when you take your journey from the corporate world to entrepreneurship, I've found that many entrepreneurs, it's either a complete stop, like they get fired and they've got to start over. They don't have personal fulfillment or they have burnout from their corporate world. It sounds like yours was maybe a little combination of a few of those. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was. And I think it worked out really favorably for me because I already had the desire to do it. I knew maternity leave was coming up, so I sort of had that opportunity of having some paid time off work, still having the job there that I could go back to, and I had that opportunity to really give it a go. So I think the pieces just fell into place for me, and I did get it to the point of, you know, I had clients and it was profitable, not of course replacing my salary that I'd been on, given that I, you know, was a senior executive at the time, but you know, it was enough to show me that this was actually a real thing and it was possible. So when I went back and was faced with the option of either wiping, you know, 8 years off my career and taking a step back or jumping with both feet into the business, it was a no-brainer for me. Like, it wasn't even a choice. I couldn't, you know, deal with going backwards. And so I went forwards on a different path.
Awesome. So tell me, this interests me a lot. I want to know about your first three clients. Like, how did you get them? Like, were they trial basis? Were they beta? Like, did you just go out and charging them? And then how did they find you? How did you find them?
Yeah. So coming from a marketing background, I guess that's what I knew. So as soon as I decided or realized that this was, you know, coaching people on marketing and in business was really my calling. And I knew that as soon as I, you know, left work and I was just thinking, oh, I was writing blogs in my head while I was in the shower. I was doing, like, I just couldn't stop thinking about marketing. So, you know, I had that moment of going, this is actually what I'm meant to do. I need to help other people with it. And that gives me that impact, that passion. You know, I could just see that that was my value. And having been already doing that for other companies I've worked for, it sort of was an easy fit for me. So I started by building a reputation, I suppose, through content and my own brand. Mm-hmm. So I started social media accounts. I started blogging. And I just started, I guess, showing up in some Facebook groups and, you know, commenting and helping a few people out here and there. And I built a bit of a following, I suppose, a tiny one. I'd say tiny, tiny. But I created a few lead magnets that were useful. And because I was reaching out in those groups where people were also in a similar stage to me, they might be a little bit further ahead with their business journey, but they might not have had the marketing knowledge or expertise that I had. So they saw me as an expert pretty much straight away, which was fantastic. And the weird thing was that I'd never actually promoted that I was starting to take on clients. I think it got to August and I thought, okay, I think I'm ready now. Like, I've done the setup, I've got things ready. I can actually take payments. I've, you know, got the tech all set up, right, and I'm ready to do clients. And they contacted me, and in that first month I had five people actually just come through, like, make contact with me via email or in a Facebook group. I set up a call, and next thing you know, I've got five clients. So I don't know how that worked. I think it was well, I'll say it's the marketing. It's definitely, you know, putting it out there. They knew, they'd been following me, and they trusted me, and they knew that I could help them. So
I think that is a great foundation, an incredible way to build a following, to a business, three, affinity, like-mindedness of who your clients, potential clients that you're going after, is to lead with content. And I think there's multiple ways to do it. You might not know this, but I just actually finished, and you're going to get a copy of this, a book, Secret of the Three C's, which is consistent, compelling content. So each of us, when you're growing a business, there's a couple of ways to do it. You can either do it by going out and searching for the sale, right? Chasing, prospecting, lead gen. We all kind of do it on a level. Or you can put out content, become an expert, become somebody that people rely on, trust, like what they have to say. And then the sale just comes naturally. Like, hey,
yeah,
Jessica, can you help me? You know, I see that you're doing this. You seem to be very knowledgeable. I love reading. I love seeing your blogs. I love seeing your videos. You know, can you help me do this? So I think that's an awesome strategy, awesome way to build a business. And to get five people in the first month to actually come after you is incredible. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
So let's talk about your superpower. Okay. Mm-hmm. You are marketing, branding, and we know there's a million ways to market brand. So what are you doing differently? Like, what's your superpower? What have you fine-tuned?
Yeah, so when I started out, I found it really, really difficult to figure out just how to pitch my value, how to pitch what it was that I could do for people, because marketing is so broad, as you just mentioned, you know, and I've come from a 20-year career in marketing where I did everything offline, online, you know, I specialize in digital, you know, since 2003. So I had a really good background in digital, online, I knew email, but I was like, oh, there are all these things. What am I actually going to help people with? And how do I put that together? Because a lot of these entrepreneurs are coming from a place of knowing nothing about marketing. And it felt like when I was trying to explain it, I'm just rattling off all these different things. And then, you know, people's eyes start closing. So I did a bit of, I guess, testing the market. Like I knew exactly who I wanted to work with. And so I had a very defined ideal customer. What I was helping them with was, it still wasn't as defined. And I think that that's where I ended up in a place where I, you know, although I was getting clients, you know, I started to think, well, are some of these my ideal clients or not? And it probably was just their level of expectation about what it was that I was helping them with. And some people I would get a huge impact and breakthroughs for them, and other people less so. And I started thinking, you know what, I need to be focused much more on the ones that I'm doing a lot more of the breakthrough for. And it wasn't about what I could do or what I know, but it was really just making sure that they knew my best value and that I was attracting the people in who I could help make the bigger changes in their business and not just little tweaks, because I could help them with across the whole spectrum of marketing. But, you know, the stuff that I was really good at was in the core strategy. And I, you know, a lot of my content at the beginning and still is now, is it doesn't matter if you go and, you know, learn everything you want to learn about Facebook advertising. If your strategy isn't in place in the core of your business, like your marketing strategy isn't there, it's not going to work. Like it doesn't matter if you hire a great agency, it won't work because you're not in alignment. And so what my superpower actually is, and the things that I've really helped other people with, as well as through discovering it with my own business, was really defining a specific market niche. So getting very, very clear on your specialization, which is not everything you can do. It is what you are really, really good at, the value that you can offer people the most. And making that your headline, making that your statement that you're going out there with, you're leading with it, and people are getting to know that you are the person who's great at that one thing. So it makes it really easy for people to understand your value, understand what you do. It attracts those right people to you. And of course, the other part is knowing exactly your ideal customer, so who you want to do that for, and who's going to be the best fit for your business. Because not everybody who's got a propensity to buy or who's a prospect for that service is going to be your ideal customer. They may not fit with your values. They may not fit with the way that you're working. There's a lot of examples of customers, and anyone who's been in business would know, you're like, yeah, I've had customers that were not ideal for various reasons. And, you know, why would you spend your time working with people who make it hard for you to work with them, rather than working with the people who it is easy, it fits, you know, they really get the value, they are appreciative of it. It's a fantastic relationship. So my specialty is helping people to get those to your specialization, your niche specialization, and your ideal customer very well defined, and then creating an offer that actually suits that person and is going to deliver what they are needing. And obviously being able to message it properly, get it out there so that you are attracting them. So it falls into then the rest of marketing, which is, you know, how you're going to create awareness, how you're going to attract them through, convert them, go through the know, like, trust phase. But it all starts off with that core strategy. And if you don't have that, none of the rest is going to matter. It doesn't matter what you know about sales. If you haven't got that strategy there, you're going to struggle. It's just going to be hard. I'm not saying that you can't be successful, but the road will be a lot harder.
So I think that is another spectacular point. When you're talking to your audience, when you're putting your content out there, and you say, okay, when it seems like the message is going directly to that individual. Like, oh my God, yes, I am a 44-year-old male that lives in Imesville and runs and works out every other morning and does this. That is me. They're talking to me. And I do have a wife that's a teacher and two kids. Oh my God. So when the message is going to a specific targeted group, and you know, we can talk about this or not talk about this, but I know with like Facebook, like you can narrow down like, hey, you know, I do like the Baltimore Orioles, or I do like the Washington Redskins, and I do have, like, you can narrow an audience down and talk specifically to like a group of people, but it's like I'm talking to you, you know, right now, like, okay, we're having this conversation, and then it doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel like a sales message, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's when you're tapping into, you know, their fears or their pains or their goals, and they're like, you actually really understand me. And then you're not actually really selling to them. You're just showing them how you can help them. You know, how you can help them go from where they are now and in this situation to where they really want to be. That's the gap. And you're like, I can help you get there. But it's not really a sell by them, because they trust you. It's a value base. You're leading with value, and you're just saying, hey, you know, if you're ready to take action, this is what we can do. And for me, that's how I definitely prefer to do it. I'm not the the hard prospecting type. It's not been my background at all. It's all about the message and, you know, attracting the right people to you.
So was there a moment when you knew, like, okay, you know, you've gone from the corporate world to blogging, putting out content, to your first five clients in your first month. Was there a time when, like, you know, niching or helping people find their niche or their ideal avatar, their ideal customer? And then what breakthrough did that have on you and your business?
Yeah, it actually had a huge breakthrough once I realized that that was what I needed to focus down on a lot more in my messaging to attract the right people in. I didn't want people coming in wanting a solution that was much further down the funnel, because they'd come in and I'd say, okay, but we need to start here. This is, you know, you haven't got this sorted. And some of them would be fine with it, and other ones would just be like, no, but I just really want to focus on these ads or something. I'm like, ugh, you know, we can do that, but you're not going to get the change that you need. So, you know, it partly came through me working with clients and reflecting on what worked really, really well, what was getting the results, and then assessing that is why. That was actually the reason why we got those fantastic results. And some of them had even worked with me a lot on the strategy and a little bit on the funnel, but even just getting their strategy in place, it started happening for their business. Like, I had a client who went from having, they'd been in business a whole year. They hadn't been finding anybody. They'd been struggling. They've had a few referrals through, but they were just, marketing was not working for them. They came to me as a last ditch effort to actually go, right, do we have a business that could work, you know? And I was like, absolutely, let's start here at the strategy. And they let me guide them through it. So we started off, you know, in that phase one, we really defined what it was that they did and then who they did it for. They unfortunately came up with three avatars, but we worked through that. I was like, okay, as long as we can make it clear for people and we can direct them in the right place to get the information that's right for them, you can have the three, that's okay. But we got very specific on the three and created an offer specifically for each. So it wasn't one generic offer. There were specific offers for the ideal customers. Literally, as soon as they had that and they started doing a little bit of reaching out to their network, they had clients coming to them and were winning them. They knew what they were doing. Once they'd won the client, they could service them. And so it was amazing, because I normally would take people through a bit of a three-stage framework with my process that sort of starts off with the strategy, then goes into the more of the funnel, the implementation of actually how it works, and then into the sales and customer experience at the end, the journey. But they, you know, a few clients, they didn't have the ability to work with me for as long, and these ones got so booked up, they actually were like, this is great, it's all working. And it was just from getting their strategy aligned and in place and putting it out there to the world that it started working. So from my perspective with my business, absolutely it had a huge difference, because I was attracting clients who understood my worth. I raised my prices. There was no argument about that. So I, you know, I made more in from, you know, the previous 3 months, in 3 months than I had the previous whole year, like once I made that change. So I sort of, you know, in 3 months, I'd already made my whole previous year's revenue. And it was, you know, it was just that difference. The confidence there was with there with me. I was able to go out confidently with the offer. I was able to charge a premium. You know, I was really able to be that expert in that space rather than being a generalist marketer, which some people would still say is, you know, it's a niche of business coaching. But, you know, for me, marketing is business. If you don't have marketing, you don't have a business. You need clients or business doesn't exist. So for me, marketing is, you know, it is entwined throughout an entire business strategy, and you need to have it. So they're not separate things, I guess, in my view.
Right. Can you bring that screen up? So Jessica has a presentation power of screenshots of what she can go through with potential customers, clients. Are you able to share?
Yes, I'm just getting the right screen. Sorry, I have a couple here.
So it's, let me add in here while she's bringing her screen up. It's important to know, and just like she mentioned, you can have a different message for different avatars for different markets. And when we're talking about avatars, we're talking about, you know, marketers, branders want to know who that ideal customer is, you know, down to they have red hair and they go to the salon on Tuesdays. Like, who is that mm-hmm. ideal customer for you? So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about knowing who that avatar for you. All right, so you got your screen up here. So let's go through this.
Jessica. Sure. Okay. So this is coming out of one of my training sessions that I have in my online course, which is called Business Jam. And I also, my coaching clients also use it, but it's basically my market niche training. So we're talking about what is a niche, and it's not your general profession. I think a lot of people get stuck in thinking my niche is, you know, I'm an accountant, so accountancy is my niche, or I'm a lawyer, that's my niche. And they might go a little bit deeper into business law or commercial law, but, you know, I would say it's actually on a much deeper level than that. So I'll take you through, this is the industry. So this is where you're identifying your industry. So whether that is, you know, marketing, for example, that is my industry that I'm in, it's broad. What I can do in there is a smaller subset of that. I would say, you know, digital is great, and I would look at what are the areas of marketing that I can do that I would be comfortable at selling to a client. But still, that is not actually your niche. So what I want you to think about is, what is your real specialization? What is it that is, like Eric saying, your superpower, the thing that you can do with confidence, that you know you're really good at, that you have passion for and proficiency? So I think it has to be on both of those spectrums. And that is where you can offer the most value. It's also what you want to be known as. You know, you really want to be going out there in the world. The more niche and specific you can be, the easier it is for people to remember it and, you know, kind of label you as that. You know, you're the SEO guy, or you're the whatever it is, maybe a WordPress Divi expert, because you are niching down into not just website design, not just WordPress, but actually a theme of WordPress, and being the specialist in that, which means that people will seek you out when they have a problem and they know that that's what they want to sell. Just jump in wherever you want to, Eric, if you have things that you wanted to ask. This is, I'm talking here about why niching, and I've given a few examples of what's the difference between, you know, who you would hire when you've got a problem. So say you wanted to have a wedding dress made, for example. Are you going to go looking for a seamstress or a tailor, or a specific wedding dress tailor? I think we all know we would want somebody who's experienced in wedding dresses, because it is a particular type of garment. When you've got a pool, you want to build a pool at your house, you're not going to call a handyman, you're going to call an in-ground pool designer. You know, you want somebody who knows exactly what it is that you're trying to build and knows all the ins and outs of it. They know what to avoid and what not to. A web developer or a WordPress Divi expert, you know, again, if you have a Divi website, you want the Divi expert, because you know that they're not going to have to learn how Divi works and use that time or make mistakes. You don't want them to be making mistakes on your stuff. You want the expert. and likewise a marketing agency, or if you have an e-commerce store and you're really after someone who's going to help you with social media, you want an e-commerce social media strategist. You want that person who knows e-commerce and knows how to do the social media strategy for your particular type of business.
And I think this is a great point, because when you're, and we all know those companies out there, we all know those entrepreneurs out there. Me, I'll use two examples. One is I'm in real estate. That's how I make my money. And I see other real estate agents marketing. They do residential, commercial. They do first-time home buyers. They do seniors. They do leases. They do new construction. And you're like, okay, what don't you do? Because you say you do everything, which really means you're not good at anything. When you say you do everything, like, I know exactly what I do and I know exactly who my customer is. Now, yeah, I might go to one or two different avatars or, you know, customers, but I stay in a very, very defined role. And then the second example is, you know, if you have to have brain surgery, are you going to go to a general practitioner? You're going to go to a specialist, right? So
yeah,
when you specialize, when you present yourself as a specialist, and that's really, you know, we were talking about the pre-interview. That's why I started this podcast, is because I wanted to find specialists. You know, I wanted to find those experts in those different areas of business, of entrepreneurship, and help, you know, everybody else when we come in. You know, we want to be for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. We want to be the resource for other entrepreneurs. Hey, where do I find this? Oh, let me go to Four Entrepreneurs by Entrepreneurs and find Jessica, who can help me niche down my business and grow a, you know, help coach me in getting new customers. So
yeah,
that's my two cents there. So go ahead. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's perfect. And, you know, just to add to that, I think it's so important, especially when you're starting out in business, is to, you know, really go niche in the beginning, because you'll be no doubt going into a crowded marketplace. I don't know any space right now that there aren't lots of people probably already doing exactly what you're going to be doing. So the way that you can stand out in the crowded space is to be a specialist, is to go in there and be even more specialized than the people who are already in there. And very quickly then you can build that reputation. You can stand out. You'll be noticed. You will have authority. And it doesn't matter that your business is newer, because people will be seeing you as a specialist. Whereas when you go in there and try to be something to everybody, like, yeah, I could help you with that, or I could help you with this, and you're really just, you know, it's almost desperate, and you're trying to deliver something for everyone, you end up attracting nobody, because they're not sure you're the right person for them. And like you say, you're like, what is it that you're really good at? Probably none of this. You're never going to be asked to go and talk, you know, do any PR, maybe be the authority on something, because nobody knows what your specialty is. They want the specialist there. They want the person who is confident and knows that this is their thing.
That's exactly right. Especially when you're like in a service industry, and I know you deal with women entrepreneurs that are service, like, what specific service are you offering? And then, you know, I know personally for myself, I don't know a lot of what gets done within my world, but I do know the people. All right, let's go ask John. Let's go ask Katrina. Let's go ask, you know what? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I really don't know that answer, but I've got this person that is super competent, is excellent in that area. So you're exactly right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, once you've built a business to a certain level with your specialism, you can look to expand it out and you know, achieve that vision that you might have had in the beginning of what you wanted. But I always recommend to my clients, you know, especially when they're in their launching or in their first couple of years, or even I've had some who, you know, 11 years into business, I go to their website, I'm like, oh my God, you've got so much stuff on here. What is it that you actually want to do? Like, what is the thing that you are really good at? What do you want to be known as? And, you know, I've helped them scale it back and actually just cut out all the dead wood and all of the stuff that's just kind of crowding their space. But it is, you know, you need to be specific to get that growth platform. Once you've got the growth and it's working, then you can start to look at, well, do you want to scale up? Do you want to scale out? Do you want to add new services, or do you want to add new ways for people to work with you in your specialty area? Because there's a different, two different ways that you can scale. You know, you can add new revenue streams in the same specialty area, or you can, you know, add other services and maybe broaden out to work with the same people in different things. So, you know, I think I always say to people, like, don't try to jump the gun. Don't try to get to the end vision right at the beginning. Start small, make a foundation that works and that you can grow and go from there.
Absolutely.
So being a specialist, you know, as we've been saying, it gives you authority, gives you focus. It's so much easier to communicate what you do and for people to understand it. So it means that it's easier for you to find the right clients because they actually end up coming to you. They probably ask around. They ask of people, like, do you know someone that does this? And, you know, even if they haven't worked with you, people might have seen you. They might have seen you on social media. They might have read your content. They recommend you to people. So you get so much more referral business when you can be specific and you can make that name for yourself. Obviously, it means it's easier to make sales because they already trust you, because you've got that level of authority and expertise in that area. You can help more people, you can make more impact, and obviously for your own business, commanding higher rates, because being a specialist means that you are in that place where you can command a higher rate than a generalist can. So, I have a few myths, I guess. So when we're talking niche, this is the stuff that I find clients always say, but, and this is the stuff holding them back. You know, they might have read about it and they'll be like, yeah, I really get why I should niche, but it's scary. And the reason why it's scary is because they think that niching down means they're leaving all this money on the table. They're like, yeah, but I can do all of this, or I'm already doing these services and that one's worth 20K, or that one's worth this much to me, you know, whatever, a month. And I say, but what about if you weren't doing that? Couldn't you be making more money in your specialization? Because that's actually where you can command the higher rates, and you'll be doing something that you really, really enjoy, that lights you up, and delivering so much more value. So it's interesting because it's like, to me, it's actually not leaving money on the table at all. It's not losing sales or customers. It's the opposite. You'll have more customers and more sales, but it will be in that area where you are in your genius zone, you know, where it's what your company is set out to do and be, which should be where it's working the best. It doesn't put you in a box either. You know, like, I've seen so many examples of people who've started off as one specialty and over time they've changed and they've become, they've broadened their scope, and they've just changed their messaging. You know, nothing is set in stone. You have not etched that messaging into rock. If you decide to change your niche, or if you decide to broaden it, or you know, expand, you can do that. This is your business. You're the boss. There is absolutely nothing stopping you from doing that. So it's just, that sort of fear, I think, we should just be putting aside straight away and really stepping into that role of, you know, I am the CEO of my own company. If I want to, I can do that. I can make a change. The other one was, yeah, I guess if you choose the wrong niche. So, you know, people think if I choose the wrong niche, my business will fail. And again, you know, I think a failure never happens unless you decide that you stop. If you stop trying, if you stop learning and moving, if something's not working, you just keep on tweaking and finding that, you know, where until it starts to work, you find that path. But doing the strategy work in the beginning, I think you have much less chance of going down a completely wrong track. I actually had a business that I started in 2010 as a bit of a side hustle, my first online business. And that was one of the major mistakes that I made, was that I chose something that I had zero passion for. I was not proficient in at all. I just saw that there was a market need and a really good profit to be made. So I thought, well, you know, I know all my online marketing, I can do this. I started the business and I did sell it 9 years later and it had grown, but it never reached its potential because I did not really care about it. I didn't want to talk about that stuff day in, day out. I hardly ever told anyone about it. I never networked. There were so many things that it was wrong, but it didn't fail. I chose the wrong niche for me, absolutely, 100%. And I'll say that now, that was the biggest mistake I made, but it didn't mean that the business failed. You know, you can, that is entirely up to you. If you keep it going, you can find the way forwards.
And I will tell you, having interviewed, 200 people, 200 entrepreneurs, my other podcast, and then you're 15 on this one, so 215, 220 entrepreneurs, that I can tell it is uncanny when you talk to somebody, when you talk to an entrepreneur, business owner, if their passion is their service or product, like if that's what they breathe, if that's what they desire, like everything else kind of works itself out. Okay, so when you go into something, like you said, you went in because there were large margins and a nice profit to be made. You went in for the wrong reason. Like if it would have been
totally,
yeah, if it would have been your passion and like you something you talked about it, because entrepreneurship is hard. Like there are ups and downs, and to get through those down times, you've really got to. There's got to be another why, because you're not, just not doing it for a paycheck.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that was why it never became, you know, my job. Like I right. never was, because my passion was in marketing. So I was totally focused on my career. And I'd have like weeks at a time where I'd do absolutely nothing on the business at all. I literally would just be servicing customers that were coming in the door, doing no marketing, nothing. It was just crazy. And, you know, I just sort of kept it along there because I thought, you know, I was like, oh, I've already invested all this time and money into it. But then I took on a business manager when I started this business. I was like, right, I just don't even want to think about that one anymore because I don't like it. It's just a pain in the neck. And I took on someone to manage it for me. And even just that, it like my revenue and profits, I think they like doubled or tripled in that year. It was just crazy. And that was at the point I was like, right, okay, now it's ready to sell. Like I've proven that it's good. It was right. me. I was the problem. I was holding it back. And yeah, I just sold it. But it is 100%, I say to people all the time, like, don't just look at a business from the market opportunity. Don't go out looking for one. Like, look inside you. What is it that you want to do? What do you want to talk about? What do you want to help people with? What is it? Because that is what is going to make it successful in the end.
Yep, exactly. So what are we looking at here?
So, okay. This is, I guess, my framework. So what I mentioned a little bit earlier, just going into a bit more detail on how this all fits together, so what it means. This framework is what I use with clients that takes them from, you know, when I'm working with them, they're kind of in the place of obscurity. They want to be the obvious choice. And so this is how it works. So right at the start, what they're having, they're often really confused about what they do, who their customer is. They've got really no idea. They're very generalist. They're unsure of themselves as well. And that means that they are presenting to the market in a lot of, I'd call it desperate. I know it's a really strong word, but it is desperation. Like they're going after clients. And because they're desperate to win any client, they're customizing their services. They're doing all of this customization. They're undercharging. They're doing everything that means that they're not in a place where they are commanding, you know, that it's not profitable, it's not sustainable, it's not efficient. Their methods are really scattered. So they'll be trying every kind of marketing. They'll be like off in social media, then they'll be trying events and they'll be feeling like nothing's working. And they think it's because they're not doing it right. So they'll be then looking for, you know, someone to help them with like, oh, I must need to learn how to do Facebook better, or it must be Instagram's my problem, or I just don't like that. And they think that the problem's in the marketing, but it's not. And they'll be working all hours. Everything's very manual. So it's like, it's a lot of angst really there. It right. feels like business is not working. So the kind of the three-phase framework that I coach them through, I've sort of come up with some titles here. So the identity part is the first part at the bottom. So this is where we're talking about the alignment. So this is your niche. This is your ideal customer. It's your offer that suits what it is that your ideal customer is looking for. It is your pricing and packaging, like how you're even presenting the offer to them, and of course your messaging and brand. So that all comes into identity. Then we move into position, and that is your market positioning. So how you are putting yourself out there to the market to attract those people. So now that you're really understand who you are, it's so much easier to position yourself in the right market and obviously to the right people to attract them in. It's all about building your presence, you know, all the fun stuff, your social media, marketing, PR events, and building that funnel. No, like, trust. The system side is, that's in the nitty-gritty. So that is how you're going to sell to them. So how you convert them into a customer, what those processes are, your customer journey, which is so important to understand how to build your customer journey, and of course the experience that they're having. So I, as a marketer, I always like to think of the journey and the experience as coming right from the very beginning of the very first touch point they have with your business, not from when they become a customer, but it's just where I teach it in the framework, because it makes, we go into a lot more detail. And of course, the, you know, a really important bit is when someone is your customer, that you are meeting their expectations, delivering on their promises, but I think actually exceeding their expectations, because that's what makes you an attraction-based business. That's what builds advocacy. That's what turns your customers into your network of, you know, basically unpaid salespeople who are out there telling other people, hey, you know, you need to go and talk to this person because they're amazing. So it's all about that. It's the repeat business and referrals coming in. So that's what happens in the system. So what that means is the transformation that they get. So they've gone from confused, generalist, unsure. They've become clear. They've got clarity on who they are, who they serve. They're very specialized and they've got confidence. So once you really know what it is, you're presenting out to the market with confidence. That means that you're attracting clients. Sales are easy and you're able to command that high value. You're attracting the clients who are in line with your pricing and packaging that you're putting out there. And then over on this side, you're very focused, you know, you've got an automated business, and that means that you're achieving those lifestyle goals as well. And for me and my clients, you know, 99% of us are mums who, you know, either have left their jobs and just in business, or they're still working a job, you know, their business is really part-time. Kids are really important. They need to have that balance, and the balance means being able to, you know, be there for the kids when they need it, be, have some life outside of business. So, you know, they are not looking to be the entrepreneur that's working 15 hours in the basement, you know, cranking it through and just hustle, hustle, hustle. They're like, no, I need a business, but I need it to work with my life, because, right, you know, I've also got other commitments and responsibilities. And hey, we didn't go into business in the first place to have a, you know, be sitting in front of a laptop for 15 hours a day. Like, you know, we're doing it so that we have freedom. Like, that was really the catalyst for going into business, certainly for me, was I wanted freedom. I didn't want to be asking someone for permission to go on holiday. I didn't want to be, you know, feeling guilty that I wasn't in the office because I had another you know, something I wanted to be at my kids' school or what have you. I wanted that freedom to live life on my terms, and that's what my clients want as well. That's it in a nutshell. So I've gone through that really quickly, but hopefully that all made sense.
Awesome. No, it definitely did. So let's wrap this up. How are you obviously you're teaching this to your coaching clients. If, mm-hmm. Like, what would be one actionable item? And I know we're going not very niche specific, but what would be one actionable item that you could give an idea for an entrepreneur or business owner today to take steps to move in that direction for finding their ideal customer?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think, you know, with the two specializations, so you can... Ideally, you want to be specialized in your niche and your ideal client, but you can be successful if you're very specialized in one and maybe a little bit broader in the other. So, you know, there are different businesses and different examples where, you know, for example, if you teach people how to train dogs, you know, that might be already quite specialized. So your ideal customer may not be as broad, whereas might be the other way around, where, you know, maybe you build websites, WordPress websites, but then it's like, okay, get really, really niche on what sort of WordPress website you want to be building, who for, what's the kind of business. So the more into the customer side, so that you have a real specialized message that you can go out with. I think the niche piece, which I just took people through, like hopefully that's enough for you to realize, you know, am I really specialized enough, or could I go a level deeper? Can I even nail down even closer into what my specialization is? And that doesn't mean that you're not going to deliver other things. It just means that's what you are, the message that you're putting out to the market of what you are, what your value is, what you're specialized at. The actionable item I would recommend most is probably deep diving into your ideal customer. Okay. That is, you know, I have a free worksheet they can download off my website. It's got 35 questions, so it's not a short one, but it goes into a lot of detail. I think it is firstly figuring out who your ideal customer is, and that's not something that's in a customer avatar profile. You need to figure that out first. So if you already have a business, who are the clients who are the best ones to deal with, that you really enjoy working with, that pay on time, that they you get the best results with, that they you've got the best working relationship? I think you're going to know if you're already in business who those people are. So use them as a base to then create your customer avatar. And if you're brand new, I think it's thinking about, okay, what's going to work best for my business? And for example, when I started out, I had a brand new baby. I was going to be working this coaching business from home and online. So I thought, well, who is going to fit best with my business? And of course, other mums, because they're in the same place as me, they're going to be working from home, they've got kids around, they're going to understand the situation, you know, it's probably going to suit them if I've got some strange times that I'm available, like I could be available 8 p.m. and maybe in little bursts during the day, but I'm not going to be sitting there from 9 to 5 working because I've got a baby, you know, it's just not practical. So I really thought about, you know, how can I make it work? What do I want it to look like from my point of view, and therefore who's the best fit for me? Once you've done that, then profiling your ideal customer is by far the best thing that you can do. My worksheet goes into a lot more than, it's not so much about the demographics, because with a lot of service-based businesses, that doesn't matter so much. It's actually a lot more about their psyche and where they are on the, I call it the education spectrum. So I kind of created a bit of a framework of how much do they know about their problem and how much do they know about the solutions that are out there? Some people are totally oblivious. They don't even know they've got a problem in the first place. And if that is your ideal client, then the way you market to them is going to be very, very different to someone who is aware of their problem and even aware of solutions and is in a place where they're ready to start making buying decisions. You know, you've got to take the first lot on a whole journey of self-discovery before you're even starting to talk about what the solutions are for them. So they need to identify it first that they're the ones with a problem and that it can be solved. So it's really useful to get into that and understanding as well what their fears are, what are their pains, what are even some of their beliefs around what it is that you do. Because I find, you know, there are people have preconceived beliefs or maybe experiences that they've had in the past that's made either a negative impression in their mind, or they might just not really know about it. So you might need to be addressing these beliefs or fears or pains in your marketing in order to get them to a place where they're ready to buy. So that is by far the most useful thing that you could do today, is to really get into it, understand what they are, and you're going to do your best job to make it specific. If you don't know, you do your best guess and you learn as you go. The more you learn about them from dealing with them, from building an audience and listening in Facebook groups, you know, wherever they're hanging out, the more you learn about them, you can refine that profile down and you can add more detail to it and complexity to it over time. So it's not something you do once and set and forget. It's going to be an ongoing process of you getting to know your ideal customer on a deeper and deeper level the more you get into it and work with them.
Awesome. So how would listeners, viewers find you, Jessica? Or they learn more about you? Now's the time to tell us how we get a hold of you.
Yeah, awesome. So you can come across to my website, which is jessicaosborne.com. Osborne spelled a bit strangely. It's O-S-B-O-R-N. No E on the end, even though you will want to type the E. Everybody seems to put it in, even though I spell the name out for them. Or you can find me on Facebook, again, under my name, Jessica Osborne. I'm a business and marketing coach. If you type that into the search, I should come up. or I'm on Instagram at jessica.osborne. So hopefully all of those places. I am on LinkedIn too. You can find me on a few social platforms, but that should be good enough.
Awesome. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Eric. It's been really fun.
It was awesome. I appreciate you joining us from the future. So listeners, viewers, hope you enjoyed Jessica Osborne, episode 15 of For Entrepreneurs by Entrepreneurs, and we are out.